Put that down as the title of this message when you log it in there. God is a plan wrecker. All right? Luke 24, verse 33, if you will. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're our special guest this morning. And God's going to be preaching directly to you. And there's going to be some truths in this that you can't run from. I don't know why you're running from them, but stop. I ran from them for 30 years. Had a profession of faith at the age of 13. Made a profession, but got a possession at age 30. Amen. When God gets a possession of your life, you won't be the same. And that's just, listen, there's no special salvation. There isn't. Salvation is a changing. It's a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You won't look new on the outside, but you'll be new on the inside. Amen. When she was singing that song, there's a line in there talked about being thirsty. And I automatically thought about the woman at the well. She asked Jesus, she said, "What do you have to draw with? The well's deep." You know what he would say? "You'll be my bucket. You'll be my bucket. And I'm going to draw that water with you." Never mind. If you didn't get that, when it hits you tonight, sometime when you're riding home, you'll have a shouting fit. You'll have to pull over. God used you as the bucket. Amen? He threw you down in the well and filled you up and pulled you up out of that mess. And you're like sitting there going, "Man, I didn't even know I was going to be the bucket." Y'all ready? I gave y'all enough time to get to Luke 24, verse 33. "And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them." We're talking about the ones that were on the road to Emmaus. They had made over a 7-mile journey and they were going to Emmaus. They were going to stay there the night, but Jesus had met them on the way. They were going one way, acting one way. Now that Jesus has showed up in their life, he's wrecked their plan. They wanted to stay a night in Emmaus. They wanted to stay where they wanted to stay. They wanted to do what they wanted to do because they were upset and trials and torments and wondering what happened to Jesus. All of a sudden, Jesus showed up, and all of a sudden, now they feel like going back. If you ever feel like going back, listen, I'm being honest with you. Going back to the gospel, back to church, back to what you know. Praise God, you went away from Jesus for a while. You went away from the cross. You went away from the message. You went away from what was right. I don't know how far you got, but praise God, when you met Jesus, you'll want to come back. You'll want to come back. It's not a thing that I have to come back. If you're still having to, you didn't get what I got. You didn't get what salvation is. If you got to do something for God, if you got to stop sinning, if you've got to, guess what? You didn't get it. I know you don't like black and white messages. 2018, be politically correct. I can't be. Either you're right or you're wrong. Either you're in or out, up or down, heaven or hell, saved or lost, period. And I can't listen. I'm being honest with you. I'm not kind of preacher that's going to follow you around until you've done that wrong and you've done that wrong. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't wear that. You should wear that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If God gets in you, He'll make all that happen for you. Can I tell y'all a secret? The church can't make you right if the Holy Spirit can't. Amen. I can give you all kinds of rules and legalism to live by, but if God doesn't come in, listen, if God ain't going to make you'll do it out of spite. Amen. Oh, never mind. You hearing me? These old boys went and walked 7 miles. I'm sure they was tired, but all of a sudden Jesus met with them. They jumped up and they wrecked their plans. We're not staying in Emmaus. We're not staying down here. We're going to go back up there and do something. We're going to go back to where we know Jesus was last. We're going to go back to that place where we need to go. Some of y'all need to go back. Some of y'all went too far the wrong way. It's time to get back to God. Well, I might lose some people. Some of y'all need to lose some people. Verse 34, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was now known of them in breaking of bread. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. I love this part. What happened is they had an experience with Jesus. Have you had an experience with Jesus? If you had, guess what you're going to do? You're going to run and tell somebody else. That's what they did. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They said, you know what? We got to go tell somebody. Could you imagine if they had tried to stay in Emmaus? Could you imagine if they had tried to stay down there by themselves? Can't sleep. This is what happens when you get saved. Can't sit around, can't be normal, can't do what we wanted to do. We got to go tell somebody about this experience. Why do you really want to tell somebody about the experience? Why did I tell people about the experience? I tell them about the experience because I want them to experience what I've experienced. And if they don't experience that when I'm telling them, it's okay. Because guess what? I still got to tell the experience. Did you hear what they did? They got up there and they went all the way back to Jerusalem. They got all the apostles together, all the 11 where they were meeting. And they're like, listen, guys, we met him. They're like, okay, we know, we got it. No. Remember how we left? Come on, some of y'all need to help me preach. I know it's Sunday morning, but you can get off your a comfortable zone if you would. Listen, they said, when they left, they seen them. Some people seen you leave. They seen how you left the church. They seen how you left. They seen how you walked away. They seen how you was living. They walked out there, they were sad, they was distraught and upset. But guess what? When Jesus met them, they came back different. You'll come back different, amen? Some of y'all need to come back different. Some of y'all need to have some joy and some peace and some happiness. Some of y'all need to let some stuff go. Some of y'all need to forgive like you've been forgiven. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll preach on that for a minute. Some of y'all need to let go of some baggage you got. I'm mad at them. I hate them. They did me wrong. I wonder if Jesus held us to the same account if we'd ever get forgiven of anything. We might have revival here. We'd probably have Holy Ghost revival break out in this very church if somebody would simply just say, I forgive them. Period. No, I don't care if they ever ask for it again. I give it away. Maybe the next time I preach it, right? You just want to hold on to it? Maybe one more week because it feels good to tell the same old story over and over again. How they done you wrong. How they messed you over. I wonder if God opened that suitcase on you when you got to heaven and run everyone to where He could have not forgiven you. Some of y'all come in here every Sunday, want a breakthrough. You want God to bless you, heal you, touch you, but you can't let something go. I'm not preaching this because I know your business. I'm preaching this because the Holy Spirit of God is saying somebody in here is miserable in unforgiveness. Some of you are sick because you won't forgive. Oh, I'm sorry. And they told the things that were done. Listen, in verse 36, and as they spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and they said unto Him, peace be unto you. Hey, you know what He said? They said, as soon as they told Him about the bread, and you know when Jesus appeared to the ones on the road to Emmaus is when He broke the bread. See, the breaking of the bread is the semblance of the cross. See, Jesus was broken upon Calvary for our sins. And every time you bring up the fact, when you lift Him up and what He did at Calvary, He draws all men unto Himself. See, now come on. They walked in the room. He said, we met Him. And I said, when did you meet Him? We were walking with Him. And He was talking with us. When we got there, He broke the bread. And all of a sudden, that same Jesus showed up. Listen, when Jesus shows up in the room, you don't have to do any more explaining. Amen? Some of y'all say, what are we doing in this church? I'm always messing around with Jesus until He shows up. Because if He'll show up, we can shut up. If He'll show up, we can shut up. Because when He shows up, you don't need to say nothing else. Jesus showed up in the room. Somebody talking about breaking bread? Peace be unto you. I'm here. Man, if you mess around, you know this to be true? If you worship Him enough and talk to Him enough and bless Him enough, He'll show up. And sometimes He'll show up and He'll change your countenance. He'll change you. You can't handle Him. God likes to be praised. That's why a lot of times churches don't see God magnify Himself in a service because we won't praise Him. God is lifted up in His praise. He made you to praise. Some of you give an excuse. I know I'm not an outward person. He said, but everything that has breath. If you're not on a ventilator this morning, you should every once in a while, just under your breath, say, praise God. Praise God. A lot of people that are ventilators. There are people who would love to change spots with you. I know it's hard. I know you probably picked everything to death this morning. But there are some people who would trade spots with you in a heartbeat. Who would love to be checked out of a nursing home and brought to the house of God. They would say, my God, stop complaining and just go worship up there. They'd run circles around us if they could. I wasn't going to preach this hard, but somebody must have been praying. But they were terrified, verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled and why thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. You know what? When he first showed up, Jewish people have a weird custom about spirits and stuff. And let's just go a little step further. I want to explain it a little bit deeper this way. When somebody dies in the way that Jesus died right in front of them, if he was to show up whole in front of you, you would think you're going crazy. Does anybody ever had a bout of grief in here? Now, have you ever had a bout of grief? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. When you grief, you think you see that person. Have you ever thought you've seen somebody that's passed away? I've done that. I remember I was walking somewhere and looked right at somebody and I thought, my goodness, that's who that is. And all of a sudden I had to remember, that ain't it. They're not here. Amen? It caused me to grieve again. I mean, anybody talk? You might know what I'm talking about. I must be just walking through the woods right here. But what I'm talking about is Jesus showed up. Now, the last time they had seen him in their minds, he was beyond recognition. He was beaten beyond all recognition. He was put in a tomb. And guess what? Now he's standing in a room and their minds can't get wrapped around that God's alive. But God's so cool, he'll meet you on whatever level that you need to be met on. Some of y'all need to shout right there. God will meet you on whatever level you need to be met on. He's like, look, I know y'all are scared. He said, I know your heart. I could preach right there for about 25 minutes. God knows your heart. Stop trying to fool people. Stop trying to tell people you love God when you don't love Him. Stop trying to tell people that you are right with God when you're not right with Him. And stop trying to explain yourself to everybody when you are right with Him and just live for Him the best you can. You're not going to please everybody. Stop trying. I thought about this morning. I'm not trying to please everybody. I'm trying to reach God. And if you're in the midst of that, great. Amen? I love what he said there. He said, he meets them on this level. He said, hey, look at me. Look. I know you're scared to death, but look, I'm not a spirit. Touch me. Put your hands in my hands. Golly, I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all might not like this kind of stuff, but when I get to heaven, man, I wouldn't mind. I believe him. By faith, I believe in who he was. I know he was crucified for my sins. I believe that he died for my sins. But I can't get over the fact that when we get to heaven, the only person who will be touting any scars is Jesus. We'll have new glorified body, but he'll still have the ones with the marks of the cross on him. I wouldn't mind putting my hand on one of the marks and just saying, thank you. Thank you. You did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I don't know which nail was for me. I don't know which strike was for me. I don't know which blow was for me. But my God, thank you. Thank you for dying for me. Amen. He said, look, y'all all can't believe the same. So whichever one of you want to touch me, I'm not a spirit. That's the difference between our God and some other God. All these fictional gods that everybody's made up, a god, a moon god, a god that's at this and in this creation. God is a living God. He stayed in a tomb, but he only stayed there for 3 days. They're still disputing today which tomb he was buried in because they can't figure out which one he was in because they don't know because he didn't stay there. They can't do the analysis because guess what? God said, I only need it for
3 days, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph says, I got a tomb. Hey, Joseph, will you have to buy another one? I don't think I will. I think this is only going to be a temporary situation.
Listen to what he said. Thing to eat. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat before them. I mean, dead people don't eat. And spirits don't eat. He's alive. Amen. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake, that all things fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened up, he opened he their understanding that he might understand the scriptures. See this book right here? Some of y'all might know this, but one thing, when God saves you, he gives you a real hunger for this. You can't explain it. It's like whatever your favorite food is, this becomes it. Well, see, I've been reading this thing ever since I got saved, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you how much I read or how much I don't read, because I'm not going to be braggadocious about it, but I'm just going to tell you I've read this thing. And from Genesis all the way up to the New Testament, Matthew, there's a type and shadow. There's a pointing of Christ. Matter of fact, it says it like this in the Scripture for y'all who need Scripture. I come in the volume of the book. Amen? See, Moses, Noah, the prophets, the Psalms, they were all pointing to Jesus. This Jesus is coming. Amen? What Jesus was saying in that verse right there, he said, everything that was written about me in this book came true. I'm standing in this room resurrected. That's why I was hung on a cross. That's why I'm here. I had to fulfill every one of them. I'll tell you something. There's enough of them in here, amen, that makes it impossible to mistake who Jesus is. Jesus was the Messiah. Amen? 100% fact, he was the Messiah. He fulfilled every messianic prophecy that's in this book. Amen? Now I'm going to give you another hard one right here, because some of y'all aren't going to like this, because I'm going to tell you the truth. And truth hurts sometimes. It said he opened up their understanding of the Scriptures. Until God opens up your understanding of the Scriptures, you'll never understand the Scriptures. You hear what I just said? Because you hear some people say, I read the Bible and it don't say this, and I read the Bible and it don't say that. Listen, you're reading it with a physical eye, not a spiritual eye. Because when you get saved and God opens up your understanding, this thing becomes alive. And one verse could equal 1,000 verses, because that one verse alive will make all the difference in your life. Amen? Are y'all happy about that? God said, I'll open up your understanding now that you're here. Amen? That's good. And he said thus, it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer. It's good for him to suffer. I can't understand that, but it's true. And to rise from the dead the third day. Verse 47 is very important. I want y'all to pay attention and hang on with me right here, okay? This is very important. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Repentance and remission. You can't have salvation without repentance. We tell people all the time, just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Yes, after you told him that you have broken all of his commandments and you are a sinner and you need him to forgive you of your sins, you must be guilty before you are innocent. You must be found guilty before you've been saved. Jesus came preaching repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance, and he sent us preaching repentance. You have to turn from your wicked ways. If you're not willing to turn from your wicked ways, guess what? You're not a candidate for salvation. We don't like that. We don't like that. But it's true. Everything God hates about my life, I willingly let it go. And guess what? If I find myself thinking about it, acting on it, or trying to do it again, I don't dismiss it. I repent from it again and ask God to forgive me of that. Did that catch anybody? Did y'all catch that? There's never going to be a time in your life after you get saved, you say, well, you know what? This is God said it's wrong, but it's not all right. It's all right with me. Nope, guess what? If God says it's wrong, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say it's wrong too. Amen? Even if I love it. Even, I'm sorry. There's some things that I love to do prior to salvation. Amen? When I got saved, I had to repent from them and turn them over to God. Now, guess what? My spirit man don't like them, but guess what? My flesh man, every once in a while, says, aha! I know some of y'all are giants in here and y'all don't feel that way and that don't happen to you. That's great. But for the rest of us, guess what? That's what I'm talking about right there. When you entertain that thought, when you entertain that action, you got to say to yourself, you know what? That's wrong before God, and it's wrong with me too. I ask God to forgive me. And guess what? Do y'all like that word, that next word, remission of sins? You know what? I looked that up. I thought it was a medical term. It is a medical term. But it's not a medical term first. What it is first is a debt that is totally forgiven. That's, never mind. So, y'all, one of these days, there's going to be just shouting sometimes. I just see y'all every once in a while, y'all going, when I said a debt freely forgiven, it means somebody just expunged your debt that you owed. Now, I can understand some of you, there's one or two in here, you had a big debt, didn't you? This guy had a big debt. Amen? I was drowning in debt. I had sin as far as the eye could see. Nobody had to say, well, I don't know if Kevin's going to hell or not. Kevin's going in the express lane. Right? Y'all good? And some of you are not in the express lane. You're in the granny lane. Amen? You're way over there in the slowest lane, and somebody's honking at you and telling you to get over, and you're looking for an exit to get on a slower road. But you're still in debt. You're still in debt. You're still drowning in debt. Amen? Two of us sitting in a boat, way offshore. We're going to swim to the shoreline. We jump out of the boat and we start swimming. Me and Gary, we're swimming. Gary swims about 200 meters and he just dies out. I laugh at him. I'm like, come on, Gary. And he said, why's Gary got to swim less than you do? It's my story. If he wants to be a preacher, he can make up his own story. Gary swims 200 meters, he's done. I laugh at him. Man, you got real issues, man. You're in deep water. Ha, ha, ha. I don't care if I make it all the way almost to the shoreline and I still drown in 3 feet of water. We both drowned. I don't care if my drowning looked less than his. We both drowned. We're all drowning in sin. We all need to have our debt taken away. And guess what? God does that. When you say, God, I need repentance. I need you to forgive me of my sins. God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Then He expunges your debt freely. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. That's the reason we come here. That's the whole reason we come here. We don't come here because we love to come. Oh, we're church going. We do that. We're come here because we're forgiven. We don't have anything else in common other than we're forgiven. Amen? We don't. Well, it's a good church. They got these programs. We got good programs. Yeah, great programs. But if we're not forgiven, our programs are garbage. Woo! Sorry. Shit, truth. Listen. Verse 8. And you're witnesses. Yeah, witnesses do what? Testify. Amen? You are witnesses of those things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You can't be a witness for God. You can't work for God. You can't be sent of God. You can't do godly stuff unless you get the power from on high. That's it. Serving God without the Holy Spirit, you're playing games.
Man, I wish I had another hour to preach right here. But you know what you're going to do? If you're trying to serve God without the power, without the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be bitter. You're going to be unforgiving. You're going to be miserable. You're going to come in here and you're going to say, I got to do this and I had to do that. And don't they know I did this? Instead, when you truly get Jesus Christ, you're like, I can't believe I get to do what I get to do in the kingdom of God. A sinner like me. That's it. It's hard to focus on other people's mistakes when you see that you had the biggest mistakes and God just freely forgave you. Oh yes, Kevin, that's true. That Holy Spirit. See, Jesus had to die on the cross. Remember when I was talking about that breaking of the bread? See, He was the loaf. He was the loaf. And He was good. But He was only good for those that were immediately around Him. He had to be broken and broken in pieces. That way everybody could receive. Amen? Look at this. I love this. One of my favorite parts. And He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while He blessed them, He parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned into Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So when you come to the temple, you're supposed to be praising and blessing God, because guess what? We don't do all of our work here. You go back, read the book of Acts. They rarely did stuff in here. They praised and worshipped in here and worked out there. Amen? Praised and worshipped in here, worked out there. Here's my favorite part of that story. It takes over in the book of Acts. And I'm going to be done. Let's all stand. Because if y'all stand, you think you're leaving. Hey, y'all want one better? Scott, come get your guitar. Let's pretend like we're about to close. Check this out. Jesus was being lifted up. They were all standing there looking up. Amen? Started ascending up into glory. And they're all like, see, by Jesus, God, you're resurrected. Witnessed of over 500 people. I mean, everybody's seen Him. Everybody touched Him. He, the real Jesus. But He's ascending up into glory. And they're all like, man, see you, Jesus. God, this is awesome. Have you ever had one of them awesome Holy Spirit moments and you want to stay there? And you want to stay there? I have, man. I've wanted. Sometimes we'll have church so good, I'm like, let's not quit. Let's stay there. And they were having this moment, and Jesus kept ascending, and eventually disappeared. And I promise you, they probably would have built a temple there. Hey, you go get some wood, you go get a council, you go get a nail, you go get a hammer, we'll build a temple right here. And all of a sudden, somebody appeared beside them. Hey, who are you? This same Jesus, this same Jesus that you've seen us ascending, will descend in the same manner. He's coming back. Don't stand right here looking for Him to return right here. Look out into the world. Find a lot of people to work for and to work with and to serve. Go ye into the whole world. Because when you get up into the upper room, guess what? He's coming down with power from on high that will change you. That same Jesus you've seen going up will be on the inside. If you ain't got that going on, you need it. You need to come up here and ask God, guess what? I ain't got what He's talking about. I don't have life-changing salvation. I don't have sin-changing salvation. I've said this a million times since I've been here. When you get saved, the biggest relationship that'll change immediately in your life is your relationship to sin. You will not be the same. You'll be like, that is wrong, and I'm not going to do it. Now, you might end up doing it or falling short, but guess what? You won't want to. I look at that upper room experience, and I think of one lady only in that upper room, 120 people in the upper room, Mary. Everybody's there going, man, we're going to have Jesus on the inside. The Holy Spirit of God's going to be in us. Mary's already had that experience. Amen? Don't worry, guys. It's one of the most amazing feelings you'll ever have. Can I preach? Can I preach? You know what she would have told them? When He gets on the inside of your life, no matter how bad it gets, you'll know that everything's going to be all right. Because everything on the outside of you, woo! Yes. Everything on the outside. Glory. Everything on the outside can do what it's going to do. Because the thing on the inside is stronger than everything on the outside. Even if you have to march across the desert 300 miles, He'll be with you. Even if you get locked out of the prison or out of the hotel, He'll be with you. No matter what you go through, even if you see Him hanging on a cross, He'll go with you. You wait. You wait, guys. When Jesus gets in you, you're going to feel a whole lot different. Because everybody else will be saying one thing, and you'll be knowing another. Because everything God says to you is different what the world's going to say to you. He's going to show you things and take you places that you couldn't go and show yourself. If you ain't got that going on this morning, don't leave here. And don't think some sin or some behavior has got you locked out from God. It does not. He will save anyone. He will change anyone if you dare. Listen, I'm telling you just like Mary. Jesus came into my life. I've never been the same. I was a sinner worse than most of you in this room. If you ask Him, He will change you. You say, well, I don't know how He could. I didn't either. What could He do with somebody like me? Like me or anybody else in this room. Come. If God's got on your heart, come.